Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. We welcome you to join us in a study of God's Word today. May God open your heart and mind as you listen to the eternal truths found in His Word.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went away and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. If I'm honest with you, that's a really weird place to end. Mm-hmm. Not only is it a weird place to end for our reading, if you noticed in at least the Pew Bibles, and I assume most of your Bibles that you use, after verse 8, there'll either be an asterisk or a bracket or something saying, most early manuscripts of Mark ends here. Most of the oldest records we have of this gospel end at that point. It wasn't till later on where we got verses 9 through 16, and they believe that that was an addition, which is kind of weird, because that's a weird place to end the gospel. If you're telling the story of the resurrection of Christ, at least if I was writing it, I wouldn't end it with, "and they went away scared." What? No, tell us the good news. And so it seems odd for them to end it there. But I think it's fitting, and I think Mark knew what he was doing. Mark is often accused of being over-hyper, or today doctors might diagnose him as ADHD, as it was now this, and immediately this, and now this, and immediately was this. So it seems like the whole 3 years took place in about 4.5 days. You know, Mark's just going. And so one of the questions has been, well, did Mark just forget to write the ending? Did Mark just get so busy he sent the letter off and realized, oh, I never told them the end of the story? Maybe. But this is something I've wondered about often when I've read the book of Mark, and I've seen that little bracket saying, the Gospel of Mark ended here. Everything following was an addition. I would wonder why. Why would you choose to end there? It doesn't look good. Which Mark's ending has been used in arguments as to why Mark's gospel can be taken as true. Because again, if you were writing a story, you wouldn't end on that note. That's a horrible note to end on. What are you thinking, Mark? Which is one of the reasons people can look back to it and say, yeah, he was telling a true story, because that's a really bad place to end. You know? you want to end on a high note, not on a sad note of Mary, and Salome going away sad. And this verse has been, or this chapter has been used at time to make ridiculous arguments that it should have never been made to use. But we see a number of things going on here. One, the women are the first at the tomb. They're the ones that are going and seeking Christ. They're the ones that went to anoint his body and first heard the good news. And although we don't see it in this gospel, we see in other gospels that Mary Magdalene was the first preacher of the good news. I tell people all the time, if there is anything that especially makes me proud to be a Nazarene, and if there is anything that truly does make us unique in the world of churches, is that from our very beginning we have ordained women. There was never a time when it was an argument or a debate. It was always from the get-go. Because if we're honest, we wouldn't have the good news if it wasn't for that first woman preacher, Mary Magdalene, that went to the disciples and said, "He is risen." And so I wonder, Mark, why would you not include that? It's such a beautiful image, Mark. Why would you end on this fearful note? And I think it makes sense in some ways. I think Mark may have done this for a number of reasons. One, if we're being honest, new life can be scary. This is something brand new happening. Never before has somebody been truly resurrected back to life. Yes, there's been resuscitations and people have come back to life, but they weren't dead, 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 other than maybe Lazarus. But even that was through the power of Christ that he was resurrected. And so there's this new thing happening. And I don't know about you, but if we were sitting in here and somebody came up from that graveyard and say, "Hey, that person is now walking around. He's alive. Go see them down at the mall." I'm going to be like, "No, thank you. I ain't messing with no zombies." So I can see why they're a little scared. This is a new thing. This is going to change their lives. This is going to be radical. Which is why I've been with people and I've heard them say that they're scared to become Christians because they know it's going to force them to change. And that's terrifying. Even when it's to new life and to life more abundant, it can be terrifying. And to me, at least to me, this makes sense. There's been a number of times where, I'm not sure if you all are aware of this, but I kind of have a fear of flying. I'm not sure if any of you have caught that yet. But I've had people come up to me and say, "Well, why don't you take anti-anxiety meds before you fly?" And my answer is, I get anxious about taking anxiety meds. Because I'm afraid it'll change. Like, I'm afraid it'll make me different somehow. Even though I know it would be a good thing. It would help me to get on that plane and not grasp the seat like this the whole way. I know it's a good thing. But there's still that fear that comes with it of, well, what do I be like once this happens? So new life can be a little scary. But as we know, because we've seen the way that history has played out, that new life was good. And it spread like wildfire. That the early church, they were gathering together and they were doing this new thing. They were with one another and they were truly taking care of one another. What's mine was yours and what's yours was mine. And everything was just in commonality together. People looked at Christians as these weird people, and we're still looked at as weird people because we are weird people. But they were looked at as weird because throughout different points of history, if your child was born with some sort of ailment or something that wasn't considered normal, they were just thrown to the streets. You're sick and you're dying were just thrown to the streets. And the Christians were the ones that came and said, "No, we know the new life that can come out of brokenness." And so they were doing something new. But it can be scary. I think another reason Mark may have ended like this is because we get to finish the story. When I was younger, I used to like those Goosebump books where you could, you know, if you wanted the character to go into the zoo and see the crocodile, skip to page 47. But if you wanted him to get on his bike and ride back into town, go to page 98. I liked those stories because I got to pick what happened. There were times where I tried to read it straight through and that got really confusing. Don't do it like that. But I liked it because I got to pick how the story ended. And I think we see with Mark's gospel, I think Mark is inviting us into that same question of, you're at the tomb. You hear the angel say, do not fear. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one who was crucified. He is not here. Go and tell his disciples. We get to finish that story. We get to leave in fear and trembling. But that might not be a bad thing. There are many things that I have feared that have ended up being great things. Again, I'll go to my analogy of flying. It scares me, but it's always been for great things, such as last year flying to Kansas City and walking at graduation. That is a great thing, although it was scary. So we see that sometimes this new life can cause us uncomfortability. You'll notice in our prayer of illumination, one of the things it says is words that comfort and challenge us. We are called to be challenged. Christ challenges us to a new life, to a new thing, to a new way of being. And so I think, like Mark, we get to ask the question, okay, so what comes next? Because that can be a challenge, is figuring out what comes next. If I'm honest, and I'm sure the board, at least I think they would agree with this, is this is a question that the church has been asking for a while. What comes next? Who are we? What's the next part of our story? Like the Gospel of Mark, it seems like the next part is left on a cliffhanger a little bit. We've heard the good news of Christ. We've been shaped by it and affected by it. So what does that mean for us in the new life that we are called to? Because I think like Mary, and Salome, we might be called to do some things that scare us. I don't know exactly what that all looks like. I just know we might be called to do some things that scare us so that we can continue the story here and now. Of reaching out to those we love, to those we know, to those who are our neighbors, to getting involved in their lives, which can be scary, because I don't know if you guys know this, but people are messed up. I think it was Annie Mae said it earlier at breakfast. I think she said, how was that she said it? I'm blanking on how exactly she said it, but she basically said, yeah, people are crazy. And people have their baggage, and people have issues. And it can be scary to get involved in the lives of those that aren't perfect. It'd be really easy to get involved in the lives of those that are perfect. I mean, I guess it actually wouldn't be that easy since those people don't exist. But if they did, it'd be easy. So one of my questions is, as we think about our church, and as we think about Easter and this season of new life and resurrected life and life more abundant, I invite you to pray and reflect on what that means for us here in Cape Elizabeth. What's the next part of our story? What are we called to that might send us into the world trembling and in awe. How will we, like those three women who helped to start a movement that would change the world by telling the good news of Christ Jesus, how are we to spread the good news? How are we to help people see that the resurrection of Christ and the conquering of death and the destruction of Hades is a good news for our neighbors? These are hard questions, and I wish I could tell you all the answers. I wish I could have that ending of Mark that was added in. I wish I knew what that piece was here for us as to what our life continuing and our life of abundance looks like. But I think, like the writer of Mark, I think we get to ask the question, so what's next? And we get to fill it out as we go along.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. Our website also includes instructions for subscribing to our podcast so you can have a message delivered to you weekly. May God bless you abundantly as you serve him today.